Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will hear and apply a truth to my life that I might be transformed into His image. Amen. That's our prayer. Amen. But what I want to share with you, this is different. There's not a whole lot of us here, so I hope this will be all right. But as I said last night, I was going over my notes. The title of my sermon that I was going to preach was called The Stink or the Storm. That's what I was going to preach today. The Stink or the Storm. And I'll get a chance to preach that down the road, and you'll know how long I've been working on that one. But last night, as I was going over my notes, I just really felt prompted to share something with you. And I hope this doesn't sound like because I've made the announcements, because I did everything that I've done, that it's all kind of self-serving. I don't mean for it to be that at all. But I want to share with you how I met Jesus Christ. Would that be all right? I want to share my testimony. I've not done that here, and I'd like to share that with you. I'm 52. I'll be 53 in August. I was raised in church. I was in church 9 months before I was born. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, always in church. And I was raised in Nashville, Tennessee, where there really are more Baptists than there are people. And I was in church. It was just a part of who we were. My daddy was a deacon. Mama was a training union director. If you were Baptist, you know what training union was. And we just went through all those things. Was always in church, always in church. And so at the appropriate time in my life, there was a time when I made a decision and I went forward in the church and I said the words and I got baptized. But how many know a lot of times those kinds of things happen, and it's because that's what you do and it's not because of what goes on in your heart. So I did that, and I was no more saved than a piece of paper. I mean, it was just service. It was just doing what I thought I needed to do. Then when I became a teenager, I went to a David Wilkerson revival at Vanderbilt Stadium in Nashville, packed up with teenagers. And he preached turn or burn, that hell's a big place and a lot of people are going to get there. And he scared the wits out of me. And I remember running to that altar, not to meet Jesus, but to escape hell. Not to meet Jesus, but to escape hell. And so did most of the kids in my youth department. And so we had this big baptismal, and everybody got baptized again. But you know what? I didn't meet Jesus. And if you don't meet Jesus, church, you're not saved. The principles, the reasons, the things that are going on can be all there. But if you do not have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ, then you're not born again. I did everything I thought I was supposed to do. I was raised in an extremely religious atmosphere and thought that everything was right, but it wasn't. Went to college, had a full-paid scholarship to go to college, some music college, voice major, piano minor. I don't sing and I don't play the piano hardly anymore, but it's all right. I went to college, and the end of my freshman year, the girl that I had been dating for 6 years got pregnant. I lost all my scholarships. I lost everything. I got married because that's what you're supposed to do. And went into a relationship that was, we were all broken up, both of us dating somebody else when she found out she was pregnant. We didn't even like each other. Can you believe that? And 2 weeks later, we were married. But see, that's what you're supposed to do back in the 70s. That's what you were supposed to do. So I got married because I was supposed to. And was a father. 6 months after I was married, was a father. And I'll never forget the day that baby was handed to me. I looked down at that baby, and for the first time in my life, I knew unconditional love. And I remember thinking, God, if you love me remotely is what I'm feeling right now, and I really believe you love me even greater, then I really need to get to know you, because I've never experienced this before. I really think for the first time in my life, I was in love. And that little baby was such a tremendous thing. And there's a long testimony someday I'll give to you about his life and how that he was scheduled for an abortion. And God intervened supernaturally. And today he lives doing crisis management, keeping people from committing suicide. That's his job. And it's amazing. Now he's a father. I'm a granddad. I mean, just amazing what the enemy meant for harm. God turned it around for good. He loves the Lord. He leads the praise and worship at his church. And he's just doing phenomenal. And then God blessed me with three more children besides that. Was married for 30 years and never had a relationship with this woman. We got married for all the wrong reasons, but for all the reasons that you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do, we did what we were supposed to do. And you know, some people asked, they said, they asked Billy Graham one time, did you and Ruth ever think about divorce? And he said, divorce, no, murder, yes. And that'll be fine. Thank you, Candace. And when I got to the point that murder was more in my mind than divorce, I realized that I probably better do something about this. But anyway, long story short, I'm a single man today and plan to be that way till Jesus comes. But, you know, all that happened, but I want to go back to when I was in college and, I got married, then I got out of college and I got three jobs, was working my head off to try to pay for this baby. I didn't know that there was such a thing as help from the health department. And so I went to work. I had three jobs. I was going to have to pay for this baby. And so I was doing that. It was during this time that I started, doing things that I had never done as a child. Cause I was a good kid. I was always well behaved, didn't do drugs, didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't hang out with anybody that did. But during this time, there was a kind of a rebellion period in my life, and I started pulling away. And I remember thinking, God, and I remember saying this to the Lord, Lord, I've read books, and I've seen people who were so happy to have you in their life. And they were so excited that you were in their life, and there was such a happiness and a joy there. And I said, Lord, I've never had that. I'm a happy person, but I don't know what that peace is on the inside. And I don't know how to find it. I've done everything I know to do, but I don't know how to find it. And I don't know what to do in order to have this happy, bubbly life. And the reason I want to share this with you this morning is I began to see miracles happen. And that's what I want to share with you, really, is the miracle of my new birth and how that it happened. And I remember I had separated from my wife. I was living at my parents' home, and I was confused. I didn't know what to do. And I remember a scripture. It was the only thing that I could think of. In Second Chronicles, you don't have to turn there because I've got my glasses trapped. Okay. In 2 Chronicles, this is very familiar. It says, chapter 7 and verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Well, I had sang that in a song, in a choral, in a choir setting, and I knew that scripture by heart. And so I went to this bedroom in my mom and dad's house, and I said, okay, Lord, your Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. I don't know what that means, but the only thing I can think of as humble is get on your knees. So I got on my knees beside the bed in this room. And he said, and shall humble themselves and pray. Well, Lord, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray. And I'm not leaving this room until I see you face to face. Shall humble themselves and pray. And seek my face. Now, I didn't know. I was 20 years old. I didn't know what seek my face meant. I thought that meant I need to seek the face of God. So I would take both my hands. I would cup them over my eyes where I could see no light. And I would begin to try to see the face of God. Now I realized that theologically that's not what that means. But in my 20-year-old mind, and how many knows, I believe God will meet you where you are. That God knew that I was seeking His face. And I began to seek the face of God. I began to try to see the face of God. I was praying, Lord, I want to see your face. Lord, and then it says, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive your sin, and will heal your land. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you can do with my land. All I know is I want to experience this life that I've heard people talk about, that they're all excited, that they're bubbly, that there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory, that there's this life that's going on that's incredible. I want to experience that. So I'm going to humble myself on my knees. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek your face. And I'm going to trust that I'm going to hear from heaven that you're going to forgive my sins and you're going to heal my land. I don't know what that means, but that's what I'm expecting. So I began to pray. And I remember I was sitting there and I said, Lord, it's like my mind is just all messed up. It's like everything's just wound so in my head. And it's just like I cannot make any method out of it. It's just, I feel like I'm just spinning and I'm turning wheels. I'm not getting anywhere. And I remember I cried out, God, where are you? Where are you? I was in this room for 5 days. My mom would bring food to the door and say, your food's here, please eat. I wasn't going to eat. I wasn't going to do anything but what that scripture said until I found God. 20 years old, but I was determined I was not going to live the rest of my life and not know Him. That what I had experienced from that point to there was not it. And I knew there was something greater and something more. And I remember I was seeking His face and I was praying and my mind was just all, and it was like, and I remember I finally stopped and I said, okay, I've been here for 5 days. And I said, God, do you care? Do you really care? I don't feel like you care. I don't feel like you understand. From what I've been taught about you, you can be everywhere at the same time. You can hear everybody at the same time. But you're not hearing me. I've been in here 5 days. I've not eaten anything. I've just been seeking your face. My parents think I've lost it. I don't know what to do, but I'm not leaving here until I meet you. There was a knock on my door, on the bedroom door. It was my mom. She says, Mike, she said, Nancy Turner's on the phone and she wants to talk with you. And I told my mom, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not getting on the phone. I'm not doing anything. Well, Nancy is a songwriter who lived right down the street from us. She lived in Nashville, Tennessee, where we did. She lived right down the street from us. Phenomenal songwriter. Just, she could sit at the piano. You could give her a subject and she could write you an incredible song about any subject. She knew the Lord. She was the first Pentecostal person I ever started hanging out with. She knew the Lord. The thing I really liked about Pentecostal people is they know the voice of God. And I remember thinking, well, Nancy knows the voice of God. Maybe she can understand some of this. And I thought, well, I don't know how I'm going to share with her or whatever. And she said, Nancy, now, this was 1980. So this was back when the telephones were still on cords. And Mama's telephone was in the kitchen. But she had one of them long cords. Remember those long cords? And it came all the way down the kitchen, all the way down the hallway, and in that bedroom. I'll never forget that telephone cord. Because I used to talk on that phone to girls and guys and whoever. And I'd be all over the house and be able to talk on that phone. But it was a long cord. And she knocked on the door and she handed me that phone. And I picked up the phone. She says, Mike, she said, I just called your mom and asked her. She said, I just really felt impressed that I wanted to talk with you. And she said, I'm sitting here in my living room. She said, I've just written 2 new songs. And she said, I want to share them with somebody. And she said, I just felt like you're the person I'm supposed to share them with. Is there any way you could come down here? And I said, yeah, Nancy, I'll be down in a few minutes. So I took the phone back down the long track and hung it up. Walked down the street to Nancy's house, knocked on the door, went in, and she had this huge grand piano in her living room. It was the only thing she had in the living room. And she was sitting there on that piano bench, and I sit right next to her. And she started playing this song. It was bubbly. It was quick. It was fast. And it said, I wake up every morning with a smile upon my face, and I say, hello, world. I'm ready to run your race. If anyone should ask why I wear a silly grin, I tell them someone loves me, and it's all because of Him. He is my reason for living. He is the blue in my skies. He is my smile when I'm happy. He is the light in my eyes. Can y'all imagine what was going through my head as she's sitting there singing this? He is my help. He is the bounce, bounce, bounce in my step. Oh, He comforts me when I cry. I have someone who loves me without a reason why. And I'm sitting there thinking, she's been in my prayer time. I mean, that's exactly what I had been praying. And I said, Lord, and I remember sitting there thinking, and she said, what do you think about that? I said, that was fine. She had no idea what I was going through. And I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, that's exactly what I've been thinking. That's exactly what I've been praying. Now, how can she have it and I can't? Why can she write a song about it? Why can she live these words and I don't know anything about it? I hear it, but I don't have it. And if you love me without a reason, why can't I get this? Do you really care? She said, let me sing this next song for you. And she did this long arpeggio up the piano. Listen to these words. I'm telling you, our God is a miracle working God. Because the first words out of her mouth was, are you under more stress than you can bear? Do wheels turn inside and yet you go nowhere? Is your mind like a clock that's been wound too tight, causing you to lose sleep through endless nights? Listen to this. God is aware of what you're going through, and He really cares. There is nothing that life will ever do that He won't go through it with you. Can you imagine? Everything that had been on my mind, every thought that I had had, every word I said to God was coming out in these songs. She went on to sing the second and the third verse, but when she got to that chorus, God is aware of what you're going through, and He really cares. I'm telling you, it was as if God Himself put His arms around me and said, I'm here. When she got through with that song, she looked at me and tears were just streaming down my face. And she said, are you okay? I said, Nancy, I don't know what you just sang about. But I've been in a bedroom for five days. And I've been praying. And I've been seeking His face. And I've been trying to hear. And I felt like He didn't care. You talked about this bouncy life. That's what I said to Him. Why can't I have it? Why can't I've done everything I know to do, and it's not real to me? And I remember Nancy looked at me and she said, I don't know. She said, but, I mean, she was blown away by my response to her songs. And I said, the things you wrote in your songs were the exact things I've been going through. The words were the exact words that I've been saying to God. As I was in that room, The one scripture that I kept reading, listen to this. I was reading it out of the Living Bible. It says, I don't understand myself at all. I found me in the Bible. For I really want to do what is right, but I can't. I do what I want to do, what I hate. I know perfectly well that what I'm doing is wrong and that my bad conscience proves that I agree with these laws that I am breaking. But I can't help myself because I'm no longer doing it. It's sin inside of me that is stronger than I am that makes me do these evil things. I know that I am rotten through and through. So far as my old sinful nature is concerned, no matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. When I want to do good, I don't. When I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. Now, if I'm doing what I don't want to do, it's plain where the trouble is. Sin still has its evil grasp. It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I'd love to do God's will, so far as my new nature is concerned, but there is something else deep within me, in my lower nature, that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. In my mind, I want to be God's willing servant, but instead I find myself still enslaved to sin. It was exactly, these words were exactly what I had experienced. And then here I was listening to these words, listening to these songs, and God is aware of what I'm going through. I'm saying this today because I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know where you are. I know one thing every one of us need to understand. God is aware. He's aware of what you're going through and He really cares. There is nothing that life will ever do that He won't go through it with you. And my favorite worship song is a song that we sing every once in a while God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. God will make a way. Y'all, that's exactly where I've been since that day. Because inevitably what happened was I went home. Nancy called a friend of hers named Marie Rice. Marie Rice has written many books. She's written some plays. She's written some television sitcoms. I can't think of any of them to tell you what she's written. But she's done some amazing things. Marie Rice lived in Nashville. My phone rang. Nobody was at the house. Marie was on the other end of the phone. She sounded like a 15-year-old kid. She was just happy and excited, and she was just incredible. And she said, I understand that Nancy shared with me what you're going through. And she said, I want to talk to you about that. She said, Mike, where are you? And I said, I'm standing in the kitchen in my mom's house. She said, are you comfortable with praying there? And I said, well, I'm the only one here. She said, do me a favor, get on your knees. And on my knees, over the telephone in my mom and daddy's kitchen, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And He met me face to face. And y'all, I've never been the same. Since that day, I've never doubted His existence in my life. Since that day, and y'all, I've done some pretty bad stuff since that day. But since that day, I've always known the hand of God in my life. There are times when life is given, throwing hard things my way, Erica. There's times when it's just difficult. You know, I've been without a job going on 3 years now. It's been amazing. I had $2.33 in my bank account. But you know what? My God supplies all my needs. He takes care of me. It's amazing what God does for me. It's amazing. And y'all, I've seen it from that day to this day, and I'm not worried about tomorrow. If He can take care of the sparrows, He'll take care of this fat boy. He's proven it. He's proven it. He takes care of me. And since that day, when I was on that telephone at my mom and daddy's kitchen, and I said, Jesus, I want You more than anything, my life was changed. I was born again. I became alive spiritually, and I have never been the same. I've lived in nice things. I've lived in my car. I've seen God do wonderful, wonderful things. I've was a pastor, had a great ministry, thought I did. And that's all gone as far as that's concerned. But you know what? I've never one time ever not known the life of God in my life. I know that joy. And see, that joy is not contingent upon where the things are going right or where the things are going wrong. That joy is unspeakable. There's no way to talk about it. And it's full of glory. You know what glory means? The presence of God. It's full of the presence of God. And since that day, when I was 20 years old, and I'll be 53 in August, I have known that I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That He is my all in all. That no matter what happens, I have somebody in whom I can depend. And He brings the right people at the right time, at the right moments, with the most unbelievable ways to blow my mind. Just like He had Nancy write those songs that day just to share with me. What a God we serve. The exact words going through my mind were the exact words in that song, in those songs. And God did that just for me. And last night as I was going through my notes to preach the stink or the storm, I just really felt impressed not to preach that message, but to share with you folks today how I met Jesus. I don't know if that helps you. I don't know if it encourages. My hope is that it does, because I want you to know, no matter what life has done to you, Jesus is the answer. He is the answer. The things that are going on in this world, they're pretty scary right now. I'm telling you, if I didn't know Jesus, I'd be worried. I'd be upset. But you see, I know that I know to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I have folks that are already there that I can't wait to see, because one day, and see, it's not a sad thing no more. I have a little brother, a younger brother. He was bigger than I am. But I have a younger brother that's in heaven right now. And you know what? It's not a sad thing. People don't understand that. But it's not a sad thing. I have total peace and joy. Because guess what? I'm going to see Gary again. And right now, he's at the throne of God. What a wonderful place to be. My best friend in the whole world was my cousin. He introduced me to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was with him when I got to pray in tongues for the first time. And he's in heaven today. And he was in a wheelchair then. He's no longer in a wheelchair. I don't have sadness. I miss him. There are times I look at his picture and I think, man, I wish I could talk to you. Someday I'll share with you the story how God supernaturally woke me up, gave me in my sleep a phone call from heaven. And I actually talked to my cousin. It was incredible. I'm telling you, our God is a miracle working God. You cannot limit him, y'all. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows every place you feel absent, or you feel a void, or you feel discouragement, or you feel that he's not there, or that there's no answer. Because I'm telling you, the answer is Jesus. And he's so much the answer that he'll let a lady right down the street write two songs just to give you back the words that are in your mind for him to show you that that's how much he cares for you. He did that for me back in 1980. And I've been going strong ever since. Up and down? Yeah. Good days? Yeah. Bad days? Yeah. Nice things? Yeah. No things? Yeah. But the one thing that's always been consistent is Jesus is the answer. Does that help anybody this morning? Amen. And I want to say to those that are here, I don't know how many fathers are in the room, but I want you to know that today is a very special day. And I believe as we honor God, no matter what we do, when we come to Him, we honor God, that anything we do in obedience to God, He says back to us, I'm not going to let you outdo me. I'm going to come back your way and with a greater blessing. So if it's possible for you to honor your father today, I ask you to honor your father. I wrote my dad a card, sent him in the letter. He got it yesterday. My mama thought it was her birthday card, which I didn't send. And she opened it and she said, oh, that was Mike's Father's Day card to his dad. So she gave it to him. But I will call him today and I will say, Dad, thank you for life. I honor you as my father. If you can do that today, I just ask you to do it, because the Word says that if we honor our father and mother, that things will go well with us. Now, there are times, and this could be a total another testimony, I'm sure, there are times when we feel like there's nobody there to honor. My dad was he lived with us, but he was an absentee father. I never knew him. I was 25 before I heard my first conversation with him. 25, lived with him all my life. 25 before I ever had a conversation with him. And have developed a relationship since then. Strain at times. But one thing I do is I always honor him. And I'm blessed because I have four children who treat me way greater than I treated him. But I told Dan this morning, I said, one thing to do, I got to get it right, because you reap what you sow. I'm going to honor my dad. If you can honor your father, honor him today. If you can't, then you just be right in your heart. You just do what you can in your heart. If it's just pray for him, if he's alive and you don't have a relationship with him, just pray for him. You know, and sometimes all you can pray is, go God. Do your thing, Lord. And Pastor did a sermon about sometimes it's important that we always forgive, but sometimes we don't have reconciliation. And sometimes you can't be reconciled. But you can forgive, and sometimes it's by faith. But you do what you can. You know what? Let God do it. Let God have it. Amen? Sometimes that's all we can do. It's, God, I give them to you. Because if I got them, I'm going to hurt them. So I give them to you. If you read the book, The Shack, You know, there's a point in the book, The Shack, where this man who was abused, his father was extremely abusive, but in the book, he's in heaven, and there's a bright light, and there's a lot of controversy. The situation is, the light is his father, and there's a reunion in heaven. And I cried for 3 days when I read that. It was incredible. But y'all, all I said today is because I want you to know that wherever you are, whatever you're going through, God cares enough that he's willing to do a miracle to get to you. He's willing to do a miracle to meet your need. He's willing to do a miracle to make it work out. And I just want to encourage you today, just like I did when I was 20 years old, trust him. Trust him. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. God's been healing my land ever since. I've seen good and I've seen bad, but in all of it, I've never missed the face of Jesus. He's been in my life, and I've seen so many incredible things. I just wanted to share with you today my testimony in order to say to you, trust Jesus. He's the answer. I'm not your answer. The name of Lamplight Church is not your answer. The person sitting to your left or right is not your answer. Your job's not your answer. Jesus is. Jesus is. He is and he always will be. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would you stand? This is a short sermon. We get to go home early for Father's Day. Thank you. Lord, I thank you, Father, there's not a person in this room you don't know. There's not a situation you don't understand. Lord, there's not a thing going on that you haven't already made a way of escape. Lord, it just takes us to get still enough to seek your face, to deal with life, to turn from wickedness, to trust you in order to see you heal our land. You'll even do it if you have to make somebody down the street write a song. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for Nancy. I thank you for the words to her songs. If no one else ever gets anything out of them, Lord, they made a huge difference for me. And I thank you for that. Lord, I just speak grace to this people today. For everybody here, in every circumstance, in every situation, I speak grace. Lord, you do in them what they don't have the ability to do. Let your divine influence come upon their heart and be reflected in that necessary area of their life. Let the operational power of God work now in Jesus' name. Let the miracle that shows them you be evident today. That's my prayer, Lord. We trust you. We look to you. God, if I've spoken too much of myself and didn't humble myself, then I ask you to forgive me and I ask them to forgive me. My intentions today, Lord, was pointing to Jesus. You are the answer, have been and always will be, and you are right now. And I thank you for being that to this people. Lord, there's a lot we don't understand. There's a lot that seems confusing. There's a lot of questions unanswered. But we know in every bit of it, the answer is Jesus. And I thank you for that, because you are able to deal with it all. There's not anything going on you didn't know about. Nothing's happened that made you fall off the throne, because you knew already and you made a way. Lord, cause your people to find your way, your will, your way that never lacks your power. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody that received that prayer said amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love you. We'll see you next Sunday.